This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with 100-year-old Marshall Soria. He was initially denied the opportunity to serve in World War II because he'd been born in Mexico and was not a U.S. citizen. Later on, he gave up an agricultural deferment and went into the military as a pathway to citizenship. He would become a replacement with the 28th Infantry Division, which suffered extreme casualties in Europe. We'll hear about that, but we left off when he had finished his training at Camp Roberts on the Central California coast.
Then he gave us a furlough, but we had to report to Fort Meade, Maryland. Now, when we were over there in the loading up, you guys ain't coming back. That was the 16th when the ball started over. We went to Camp Chanks, New York, port of embarkation. When we got to port of embarkation, they sent us to New York one night because we had been guards one night, so they went and go. And we had the Queen Mary was there already. Oh, look at that boat, beautiful boat. Yeah, you guys going in it. This is waiting for you guys. So they start getting all the treasure. Man, oh, man. So we start loading. We left New Year's Day. You can hear the half of us crying hell. See the Statue of Liberty. Early in the morning, we were crawling out, leaving the Statue of Liberty behind.
That make you a little emotional?
Yeah, and it really makes you tears fall out. You could never come back no more. That's the way they went. So I think we were landing in Glasgow, Scotland. Because they said we were about 15, 20,000 troops in there. They have to replace the whole. Everybody was slaughtered. Everybody lost all their men.
Yeah, this is already a couple weeks into the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah,
we so the losses it,
yeah,
are heavy.
A lot of guys lost a lot of men, 26 lost a lot of men. Mm-hmm. The 26 and 28 has lost the division, lost its colors.
Yeah.
Lost its colors. Lost all the men that paraded in Paris and all in August. They all got slaughtered there. They were in a picnic trying to go to a parade, because that was a parade division. They liked to parade and they liked to show off. So they went to Paris and thrown off, and the poor guys, they all got cooks and everything. They sent the cooks and gave them rifles. And when we got there, Glasgow, Scotland, then they shipped us right into the boat and to the trains, then they shipped us against to Southampton. I don't know if we were there a day or two. It was rapid. They loaded us in the LSDs, and we were ready for next morning. They jumped us in La Havre. They had the trains already. That's the 48th, the one that's here in 509.
Yeah.
They were there ready. We were the first one to unload, last one to unload, and the first to unload, because we were the first one to get off. And half of them was crying, heaven. And first thing happened, never seen the snow before, and it starts snowing. Oh, my Lord. It starts snowing, and you had to load them cars.
And do you still only have warm weather clothing?
Yeah, we still had our khakis.
Because you were outfitted for the Pacific
yeah,
War.
Yeah, we were up.
But now you're in the Battle of the Bulge and it's snowing.
We're snowing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we went in there. Well, we were all right, because then this guy started coming in from, I don't know where the hell from, Tennessee. Everybody from everybody. You didn't know nobody in there. But we all got together. But some of us have already been out, seen the world. But some guys that haven't been out, young ones, hasn't been out. Oh, pity them guys. They start crying. I don't blame them. Crying for their mothers, crying for this. What could you do? You could do nothing.
And I'm just assuming, since at this time you're 24 years old,
yeah.
You're one of the older ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of these guys, the replacements are probably
19, 18, and yeah. 19. And they never had been out of their house before. So they didn't know what the world was.
So the snow hit you before the Germans hit you?
Yeah, that was the starting.
Uh-huh.
That was the starting. And then they loaded up the train. We pulled out. I don't know if it took us 2 days or 1 day, but they wrapped it. Because we stopped one place, and next morning, when we stopped, we had lost two guys in there. They froze in the boxcars.
So before you've even had combat,
but
two guys died from freezing
in the train.
Wow.
Because there were some guys that also, they haven't been in the snow. We have them Tennessee, Louisiana, all over the states we had them in there. Then we got there, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, because it was dark when they took us to the CP, where they started renewing the division.
Okay. And this is the 28th Infantry Division, yeah, Bloody Bucket Division.
So I got into the 110th, and the other guys got into the 10th, 12th, another division. Because they were all messed up. We lost our colors.
Explain to people what that means, for people that they've never been in war, they don't understand what you're saying.
The colors is the flag. Mm-hmm. The flag that we carry in combat. They ran over the plane and they took the flag. I think it was two sergeants left in that company. That's the guy that was taking us to the spots where we were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have nobody out there. They were empty. They started giving us spots. That night, when they called my name, go out. Somebody, a sergeant, I think somebody called, no, hold that guy. His papers had him come in. They wanted to make sure that my papers had come in. So I didn't go that night. Well, that night, next morning, when they take inventory, two or three guys were gone. That same night we came in there.
So that could have been you, had you not been held back.
My friend of mine that was with me, he went out that night. I didn't see him no more. If we met in the boat, we didn't see him no more.
He was killed?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't recall. We just met
on the boat.
In the boat. Mm-hmm. You meet a lot of guys in the boat, you don't need to know your name. Mm-hmm. Then next day, that's when they started, because we usually go in the night and start taking them. Okay, they would start setting them up again, put some more, replacing them, mm-hmm. replacing us. They said, here, you're going to get the BAR. Oh, my Lord. Hijo, mano. I said to him, well, what can you do?
Before that, you're just a regular rifleman.
Mm-hmm. They said, you're an automatic rifleman. 20 pounds, that darn thing, 21 pounds. Plus ammo, the magazines, 10 of them, they only weigh about 2 pounds a piece. You have to carry about at least 10 or 12 of the things. It all depends on how you use your gun. It's just like a machine gun. You just press that thing, the whole thing comes out.
So it's your first taste of combat. You're in the snow. You don't have clothes for the snow. Now you're carrying more weight with this BAR. And the BAR makes you a bigger target for the enemy, too.
That's right. I was a front man.
So you got a lot of things working against you.
Everything. I said, well, what the heck? I came over and listed, so what the heck? Who would have blamed me? I ain't got nobody to blame me, myself.
And where were you guys?
In Bulge, in Belgium. Around there in Bastogne, a football for me.
So how did that go, your first action as a BAR man?
Well, it was all right. We didn't have too much action for a couple of days. Then they started moving us out here and there. When we got there, when we started going on open ground, it started going bad. You have to, your ammo carrier has to be with you all the time, by you. Then it started knowing. What was bothering me was I didn't have no overshoes, because they didn't fit. They were not overshoes for my size, so I had to wait, but you waited too long. Then your feet get wet. You take your socks off of them, clean them up, put them on, wash them, put them in your belt there, try to dry them up, mm-hmm. and change yourself again. You get your K-Rash and get a little box like that. We didn't see a meal for January, February, I think until March. We see a meal.
Nothing but rations that whole
rations
time?
Rations, and yeah.
Can you describe for us how cold it was and what that did to you, or how you tried to
Well, it was all right in Belgium, cold. But when they declared the Bulge over, it was the 25th of January. They sent us farther north, or east, or north. We were sent us to the Alps. The Swiss Alps, together, the French Alps, by Colmar. We had to go clean up a pocket over there, the Colmar pocket, they call it. That's where Audrey Murphy was coming with the 3rd Division. He was coming from the south, and we were in the mountains in LSC Mountains, and it got worse. Snowing. Like it just snow. Then it started freezing. Because when we climbed there, when they took us over there, we had to bypass to the back and climb to the back. We didn't go into the little town. It's a little village. We went to the back, and we had to climb. We had to use mules to keep the equipment up, the heavy equipment up. Mm-hmm. And we had to climb ourselves up there. Somebody must have been before, because the foxholes were already covered with snow. We just went in there, clean it up and slept in there. We're all bent up.
So you're sleeping in snowy foxholes.
Yeah. We have to go out. First thing we do, we go in there, the whole company gets in there, we're all scattered out. Okay, first guard, you take, put a guard first time. The first thing you go to a guard, you stay 2 hours on and 2 hours off. So you go out 2 hours, and you got to come and pick up the other guy. Because the two are together. So, okay, your turn. It was one night. It must have been the second or the third night that we were there. We stayed there. And one night, I looked at my watch, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And my partner hadn't come in yet. He said, hey, something must have happened with this guy. So I went out and checked on him. He had his rifle. He had his rifle like that, and he was leaning against the tree, freezing. He was freezing. So I took him out of there, put him in there. So I put guard for 4 hours till the daybreak. So that was all right. But about 2 days later, they said, you, Soria, you see, come on, I had to... power. You guys going to the foxhole down there way in the bottom where the town is. They had a town. There was a big hole down there. He says, you go over there. You go stay guard over there. Pull post until morning. I took 2 guys with me. We were 2 guys. My partner. And then he paid for it. My feet started freezing about, it must have been 11 o'clock at night. This foot started getting itchy, 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 itchy. And it started going out this way. And then this other one started the same way.
So your feet are tingling and spasming?
Yeah, they were starting this one the same way. Mm-hmm. It started the same way. What the hell going on? I told the guys, I said, I'm going to freeze, I can't. So I took myself, see what the way was. Hell, I couldn't put them back on.
You took your shoes off, but your feet were so swollen, you couldn't get the shoes back on.
Then I had to put them on, but... I cried, but I put them on. But the nets kept on going. And we could see the guys in there. Cause we could get up and look around and see them guys about 3,000 yards away from us.
The Germans?
Yeah. They had their bonfires and got that thing going, talking and everything. I don't know. I told them, I don't know if we're going to make it. And they said, well, we'll see. Wait a minute. Here was about 1 o'clock. It was getting worse. It was over here now. My whole body was getting out.
You're experiencing that frostbite feeling?
Yeah.
All over the place?
All the way down. It was coming up. Mm-hmm. It was coming up. So I said, if anything happens, you guys take off and I'll just stay here. You know, how the hell are you guys going to carry me?
So you were afraid that you wouldn't even be able to move?
Yeah.
This is how bad this freezing sensation
was,
is getting.
Giving out. Mm-hmm. So by 3 o'clock, I was checking the time. About 3:30, I felt the thing was coming way over here now.
Up into your chest?
Yeah, up into the chest. I could feel like just the whole body was. And I told him, you know what? It's getting light when light. We didn't want to go too early because, you know, then you call you abandon your post.
Right.
You got a lot of rules. You had to wait. No matter what happens, you have to wait. So I waited. And then by 4 o'clock, 4:30, you know what? I think we better start going.
When the sun is just peeking over the horizon?
Just barely. Because I had to beat the thing. Cause I thought this was good. Get out of there before it, because it was in there. I had to get out of there. I came out. I barely came out of there. We had to climb the hill again. It was steep. It was steep, but good half mile. It was good half mile. And we knew where the teepee was. So they directed me right straight to the teepee. And honest to God, I don't know, the whole thing, all of a sudden, the whole thing shebang. Wah! I passed out. I think it froze out, everything. And those guys got hold of me and dragged me. They dragged me to the teepee.
So you're climbing the hill back to the command post, and this wasn't an enemy shell coming in or anything. You just, your body gave out on
it. Yeah, I gave up.
So you pass out?
Passed out.
And they drag you to the command post?
To the command post.
Uh-huh. So when did you come to?
That's when they started to massage me or something, because I don't remember. All I can remember is they said, you want to be evacuated. And I told him, hell no. I just came in about a month ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be. So I don't know. If the CP don't report to headquarters, there's nothing going to about it. It's right there. They have to report it.
A couple questions come to mind. One, your feet. And you know, my grandfather was at the Bulge. He was a doctor. And he said he treated more frozen feet than any kind of wounds or injuries or anything. How bad did your feet get?
Well, they didn't get affected.
They never they got blacked.
They were just frozen.
No.
I think the ones that you get them out, that was the trench feet.
Yeah.
That's the water that gets into their feet.
Yeah.
It's the water. When they get the water, they get the trench feet.
And you avoided that by taking your socks off and putting them on your
That's
chest.
That's what we avoided when we, yeah. When we were. Because a lot of guys left their socks on and just go on and off and on and off. And they didn't take them off. We used to take them off and clean and wash them and just took them in here.
So you didn't have any lasting effects of that exposure?
No. Right. After that, it was all right. It still helps now, but I don't know what happened. Getting old now, I guess. But I just got any happiness. When we took Omar, it wasn't over there, just the beginning. We've only been there a month.
And there was plenty more in store, just as there is in this program. Break time again. If you'd like to see photos of Marshall Soria then and now, you can head over to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And we'll be right back after this.